Hey guys, welcome to the Filming with Josh podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Milligan, and today I'm going to cover the truth about gimbals. Everybody wants to own a gimbal, and they think that that's going to be the best thing they can get to elevate their work. And perhaps it is. But before you go out and buy a gimbal, I want to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of owning and operating a gimbal for your video production business.
This is the Filming with Josh podcast, brought to you by Rustic River Media. Welcome to the videographer's home for tips, tricks, and how to make flicks.
Before we dive into the episode, I want to mention the Filming with Josh Facebook group. If you're not currently a member of the group, I want you to hop onto Facebook, type in Filming with Josh, and ask to join the group. Our Filming with Josh Facebook group is a place to come and learn about video production, photography, editing, and the business that goes with it all. So if you're not a member yet, hop onto Facebook and ask to join today. For those who don't know me, my name is Joshua Milligan, and I'm the owner of Rustic River Media, a Texas-based multimedia production company located in San Marcos. My company focuses on video production, photography, website design, and social media management. And as a content creator, I'm always looking for the next best thing to help me improve my business. About 4 years ago, that item for me was a Movi M5 gimbal by the company FreeFly. If you've never heard of FreeFly Movis, then you need to climb out from under a rock and take a look at them, because in my opinion, they make the best gimbals you can possibly buy. But should you own a gimbal? That's what I want to talk about today. As I said, 4 years ago, I decided to pick up a Movi M5 gimbal. And I use my Movi with my mirrorless cameras because I can't see myself wanting to fly my FS7. There's just no way, no how do I want to fly my FS7 on a gimbal. It's too big, too much goes into it. I just don't want to do it. For me, when I fly a gimbal, I want to work with something that's small and lightweight. I prefer two-handed gimbals, which all of Movi's gimbals are two-handed as far as their pro lines goes. And I don't just like to work with small cameras, but I like to work with cameras that have good autofocusing systems. For me, that's really important, because I don't want to have to rig up some sort of wireless follow focus system and bring a designated focus puller, or have to set up a wireless follow focus system that I control on the gimbal myself, because the last thing I want to do is have to be pulling focus while I'm also trying to compose my shot, monitor exposure, all of that type of thing, and be able to move my gimbal in a way that actually makes sense for the shot I'm going for. You see, a lot of people don't realize that when you work with a gimbal, there's a lot more that goes into it than simply flying your camera. You've got to pay attention to how you're going to get focus. You got to pay attention to how your movement is. You got to pay attention to how things are balanced. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. And I don't want to have to focus on, pun intended, focus on focusing while also trying to make sure I do all the other things that you have to do when you own and operate a gimbal. So for me, I like to work with gimbals that have small, good autofocusing cameras on there. So for instance, I like to run my A7 R3 on my Movi M5 because it's small, it's lightweight, I can pick which lens I want, and everything autofocuses really well. And it just allows me to put the camera on and focus on the creative side and know that the camera is going to do its job for me. And that's what I look for when looking for a really good gimbal setup. However, gimbals are not the have-all be-all. And that's something I want to make sure is clear on this podcast. Just because you own a gimbal does not mean that you are now a cinematographer or are now some high-end movie maker. Gimbals are great, but they're just a tool. And it's really important that you understand that. There's a lot of things in videography that are more important than a gimbal. To me, you need to have good quality lenses. You need to have good lights, or at least work in good natural lighting. You need to have good quality audio. And you need to have a really good tripod. I'm talking a really nice Miller Sackler, something like that. Because if you go out and you have a gimbal and a drone and a red camera and all these other things, but you have a crappy tripod, you're not going to make good movies. You're not going to make good videos, period. Because your stuff's going to look shaky anytime you go to the sticks. It's really important that no matter what you do in your business, that you focus on getting the essentials first. So invest in good quality audio, invest in good lights, invest in good lenses and a good tripod, and really learn how to use those things first before you decide to upgrade and get some other tools. Because all a gimbal is just a tool to help you do certain shots. And in the 4 years that I have owned my gimbal, I can tell you, I did the math one day, it's like 25 or 30% of the videos I use have a gimbal shot in it at all. In fact, it might even be less than that now. But the reality is as much as I love my gimbal, and I have a very nice gimbal, I just don't use it all the time because most of my projects don't require a gimbal shot. You see, a common mistake that amateur videographers make is they go out and they will purchase a gimbal and use it in every video for everything. And that, to me, is the first sign of an amateur because they're using it as a crutch to help them make a good video rather than use it as a tool to help them tell their story. That's the way a gimbal should be used. So if you're a filmmaker and you want to purchase a gimbal, do it because you have the other things you need first, lights, audio equipment, tripods, things like that, and get it because you know that it's going to help you get certain shots that you need for some of your videos. But don't try to force gimbal shots in every video you do. It doesn't look cool. What it looks like is that you don't know how to tell a good story and that you're using a gimbal as a crutch. And just like people who use slow motion as a crutch, slow motion is not the have-all, be-all. If you watch any movie, slow motion is used as a way to help tell a story in certain types of shots. It is not the have-all, be-all, and it should be used tastefully and in a way that is that contributes to your story or to the goal of your video. It should not be used as a crutch, and the same thing goes with aerial shots, gimbal shots, and things like that. So if you're gonna buy a gimbal, don't get it because you think it's gonna make you cool. Get it because you feel like it's gonna help you tell your story in a creative way because you have some shots that you know could benefit from it. And don't force it into every video you make. In fact, only use it tastefully in a certain amount of videos that you do so that when you do use it, it really makes your work look good, not like you're just repeating the same thing over and over again. Now, I want to uncover some things about gimbals that I think people don't know. And the first one is gimbals really only focus on the yaw, pitch, and roll axes. If you don't know what that is, I want you to Google yaw, pitch, and roll and look at pictures online that show you the different movements of yaw, pitch, and roll. What yaw, pitch, and roll is essentially is those are three different axes. I guess I always have a hard time saying that word. I think it's axes, but I'm going to still say axes because I'm from a small town and that's just how I talk. But the yaw, pitch, and roll, they focus on eliminating sideways movement that rolls like on the horizon, for instance. And it's really hard to explain over a podcast if you're not looking at a picture of it. But essentially, it covers every axis but the up and down axis. The up and down axis that you see when walking is not covered by 99.9% of any gimbal products out there. Now, there are some that are starting to tap into that fourth axis that covers the up and down movement. And there are contraptions you can buy to go with your gimbal to help eliminate that up and down movement. But the reality is that gimbals inherently are not designed to eliminate the up and down movement. They might help eliminate the appearance of up and down movement because they're eliminating all the other movement on the other axes, but they are not going to eliminate the up and down movement entirely. They're only going to make the appearance of the up and down movement not as noticeable. And that's a mistake that people make is thinking that it's going to eliminate the up and down axis. So many times you'll see people will buy a gimbal, they'll go outside and they'll walk with it to try to get a really cool float flying looking shot or floating looking shot with their camera, but you can immediately tell it's on a gimbal because you can still see they're bouncing up and down when they're walking. The reason is because it's not going to eliminate that axis. It's not designed to. And so if you're going to buy a gimbal, you have to know that it is not going to automatically eliminate the up and down axis. If you want to eliminate the up and down axis, then there are other items you need to get to go with your gimbal, or you need to learn how to catwalk. Now, many of you might want to know what in the world a catwalk is, and I thought the same thing when I first read about it 4 years ago when I got my gimbal. And what a catwalk is where you bend your knees, kind of almost like you're getting into a batting stance in baseball. You don't have to go quite so low, but you just want to bend your knees a little bit and then walk with your knees bent so that your knees and your legs absorb the shock of your walking. And what you notice when you bend your legs and you walk with a gimbal and you absorb the shock of each step that you take, you will start to eliminate that up and down movement, or at least to minimize it. And when you learn how to catwalk like that and you combine that with a gimbal, that's when you start to get a shot that looks like there's no up and down movement. And so a lot of times, if you look at my gimbal shots in my videos, my gimbal shots do truly look like they're flying. You genuinely cannot tell that I'm walking. And the reason is because I've spent 4 years learning how to catwalk. And it's not something you can just go outside and do immediately. You have to practice with it. But when you start using a gimbal and you learn how to absorb the steps when you walk or run or whatever, you can take away a lot of that up and down movement. And that combined with the three axes that are being eliminated by the gimbal, that's when you start to get a really good smooth movement. But if you are just taking a gimbal out and you're going to go walking with it like you'd normally walk, it's not going to eliminate that axis for you, and you're going to notice that your video might look a little better than if you were walking holding a camera in your hands, but it's still going to have that up and down movement. And that's because you have to learn how to catwalk, or you have to add a Steadicam or something like that to your gimbal to help absorb the shock. So that's something that I want people to realize, is that there's a way to use a gimbal to eliminate or at least minimize the up and down movement, but a gimbal inherently on its own will not do that. Another thing I wanted to tell you about gimbals that a lot of people don't realize is that gimbals are kind of a pain to use. They genuinely are, though. When you buy a gimbal, the only way a gimbal truly works its best is if it's perfectly balanced, and I'm talking perfectly balanced. You cannot just throw your camera on a gimbal and go outside and shoot and expect to get good results. It's not how it works. Gimbals need to be balanced properly. Now, some gimbals can make your shots look better than others if it's not balanced as good as it could be because they have really strong motors. But the reality is that to really get smooth shots, your gimbal needs to be perfectly balanced. And there are videos online that show you what a perfectly balanced gimbal looks like. But essentially, when you put your camera on the gimbal, your camera with the gimbal turned off should not tilt forward, it should not tilt backwards, and it should not rotate from side to side. You should be able to grab your camera by hand on your gimbal with your gimbal turned off and move your camera in any direction, tilt it forward, tilt it backwards, roll it and tilt it forwards, or roll it and tilt it backwards. And when you do that, it should stay exactly where it is. If it moves at all on its own, then it is not balanced properly. Once your camera is balanced properly and you can move it in a spot and it stays there, that's when you're ready to fire up your gimbal and use it and have it work the way it was designed to work. And so when you see a lot of people out there that buy a gimbal but don't feel like their shots are all that smooth, a lot of it is the catwalk. They don't know how to catwalk. And a lot of it is they don't have their gimbal properly balanced. Well, the thing about this is, and why gimbals are kind of a pain, is let's say you're on a job and you're filming inside and you're using a prime lens, like a 24 millimeter prime lens, and you're filming inside and you've got a clear UV filter on to protect your lens and you have everything nice and properly balanced. But then let's say you move outside to start filming outside and you've got to take your gimbal outside. Well, now that you're outside, you need to add ND because it's the middle of the day and you need ND to knock some of the light off that's entering your camera without having to change your f-stop or anything. So you put an ND filter on your lens and all of a sudden you realize that your gimbal is no longer balanced. Well, that's because your ND that you put on is a lot of time, especially if it's a variable ND, it's going to be heavier than your UV filter was. So when you put a variable ND on the front of your lens, you're adding weight to the front of your lens and you're making the balance point of the camera change. And so when you go outside and you add an ND filter, your camera is no longer going to be properly balanced on your gimbal. And the only way that you can get away with it is if you're using solid NDs that weigh the same as your UV filter. But if you're using a variable ND filter, or if you don't use UV filters when you're filming inside, then you're adding weight to the front of your lens, and that's going to throw the balance point of the whole thing off. And so now you have to stop what you're doing and rebalance your camera on your gimbal before you can use it again. And so a lot of people don't realize that. Same thing goes with zooming. Let's say you're using a 16 to 35 lens and it zooms externally. You know, when you turn the lens to zoom it, the lens barrel comes out or moves in, depending on what lens you're working with. And changes the weight of the lens and where it's distributed. Because when you zoom out and your lens barrel comes out of your lens, you're now adjusting the balance point on your camera because the weight is being shifted further out in front of the camera because the lens is extending out from the camera. So if you have a lens that you're filming with that zooms externally, where the lens physically moves out away from the camera as you zoom, at that point, you are changing the balance point of your camera. And so now you have to stop what you're doing and you have to rebalance your gimbal. And so if you're filming with a 16 to 35 lens, for instance, and you want to change focal lengths, you have to stop what you're doing and rebalance your camera. Same thing goes if you change lenses. Unless your lens, you have two lenses at two different focal lengths that weigh exactly the same, which most do not, then you have to readjust your balance point on your gimbal every single time you change lenses. And so a lot of people don't realize that. They want to buy a gimbal, they want to go outside and film with it, use an ND filter, and they'll balance everything, but then they go inside, they take their ND off, and now their shots don't look good. Well, it's because they have to rebalance their camera. Or they're filming and they want to zoom in on something and have a tighter shot, but now their shots don't look as good. Well, it's because you got to rebalance your camera. So it's kind of a pain, and it's something that you have to keep in mind when you're working with a gimbal. It's going to slow you down and it's going to slow down your process. So if you're going to work with a gimbal and you need to run and gun with it, I suggest using either a prime lens or using a zoom lens, but leaving the zoom at a certain focal length and not changing that focal length at all throughout your shoot, and just not adding ND or adding ND and not ever going inside with it if you're going to have to work on a fast-paced environment. If you're going to work in an environment where you can take the time to make those adjustments, then you just have to keep in mind that that's a step you need to take. And so I bring that up because a lot of people want to buy a gimbal and throw it in their backpack and pull it out and get shots with it, you know, and they don't realize that they have to do all of those things. So it's not exactly as simple as it looks. You don't just throw your camera on it and get smooth shots. You have to know how to walk with it and you have to rebalance it anytime you adjust your camera. Another thing that people don't realize about gimbals is that gimbals are not super easy to maneuver with. And what I mean is, when you're, let's say you're filming with a camera on your shoulder and you're trying to capture the action at an event, you can spin to the left, you can spin your body to the right, you can quickly adjust and get your camera pointed at exactly what you want it to point at. Well, with a gimbal, there's a little bit more finesse involved. There's a little bit more movement that you have to think about. You have to slowly, if you're trying to move from one place to the next and not have it look kind of odd, you have to slowly adjust your body and slowly adjust your hands, or else you're going to watch your motors jerk in your shot, and your shot and your video will reflect that. You have to know how to tune your gimbal to move the way you want to move for a certain scene. So let's say you are shooting a real estate video, for instance, and you're wanting to fly a gimbal in the house to show different rooms in the house, and you're going to walk from the living room and then you're going to go down a hallway, and then you're going to turn to the left and fly the gimbal into a bedroom. Well, if you do that, you have to tune the settings to where when you turn left from that hallway to go into the bedroom, your gimbal needs to be able to turn with you in time and not take forever to turn. And it also can't do it so fast that it looks jerky. So you have to change the tune settings in your gimbal's app or however your gimbal works to be able to reflect the type of movement you want to do, so that when you're going down the hallway and you turn left to go in the bedroom and you want your gimbal to follow and reflect that shot, you have to tune it to where it doesn't take too long to get into the bedroom to turn with your body, and it doesn't do it too fast that it looks jerky. So knowing how to tune your gimbal is something else that's really important. You don't just pick it up and just automatically have it do it for you. It has to be able to reflect the type of movement you want. And you only learn that by using one over a period of time and understanding how to tune it for what it is you're after. Another thing about gimbals is knowing how to be creative with one. What I mean by that is, if you're going to get a gimbal and you're going to take the time to learn how to balance it and to use it properly, don't do it with the intent of just following somebody around who's walking. If you're going to get a gimbal, learn how to be creative with it. There are so many things you can do with a gimbal once you do take the time to learn how to use it and balance it and everything, that allow you to get shots that you wouldn't be able to get by hand or with any other device other than like a dolly or something like that, or a glide cam. So when you get a gimbal, take the time to learn the types of shots you could get with a gimbal. Use a gimbal not just to follow someone walking, but use it as a fast-paced slider. Use it to glide through a house. Use it to spin around an object. Use it for all different kinds of creative purposes. Use it just to get a stable shot driving in a car. There are a lot of things that you can do with a gimbal that are really unique, things that a lot of people may never even have thought of before. So don't get one just so you can walk or follow someone who's walking. Get one so that you can do creative things with it, things that you would not be able to do handheld. And so learning how to balance your gimbal, how to tune it and operate it and all those things, how to walk with it, and then learning how to be creative with it, all of those things are really important. So I think, you know, gimbals are a great invention. FreeFly was pretty much the first company to bring gimbals to the mainstream and design something that could work the way that gimbals we know it know work today. And that's why I've invested in a FreeFly Movi gimbal, because FreeFly has got it down pretty much better than anybody. And it really has revolutionized filmmaking. But all too often, I see people go out and purchase a gimbal not knowing all the steps that are required to make it work properly, and not knowing how creative they could be with it if they do get it. And then lastly, I said this kind of at the beginning of the podcast, don't get a gimbal to be a crutch. Don't get it to use in every single video or to be what, quote, sets you apart, because it's not going to set you apart. Everybody has a gimbal. Seriously, everybody, for the most part, has some gimbal of some sort. Don't get one because you think that's going to automatically make you a good filmmaker. Get one because you think of creative shots, you know of creative shots that you could do with one to help you tell your story. Don't forcibly try to put it in every video you make. Just put it in videos that can truly benefit from the creative style of shot that you can bring in that you would not be able to bring in if you went handheld or with a shoulder rig or something like that. A lot of people, like a lot of wedding videographers, would be better suited, honestly, with a glide cam than a gimbal because it's faster to operate. But if you want to get a gimbal, they are a great device. And do some research to see which one is right for you. You might be interested in purchasing a Ronin S. I think if you're not into two-handed gimbals, I think Ronin S is pretty hard to beat. It's a one-handed gimbal design that's relatively easy to operate. It's kind of heavy. It's bigger and heavier than you would think it would be, but you can do a lot of stuff with it, and it works relatively well. And I think for a lot of people out there, the Ronin S would be a killer gimbal to look at. And if you're into two-handed gimbals, they have the Ronin M, or you can step into the Movi line like I have. And those, in my opinion, are some of the best brands to look at when wanting to purchase a gimbal, but do it because you know how to do, how you can be creative with it. Don't do it because you think it's going to make you a great filmmaker, because there are a lot of other things out there like storytelling, lighting, sound design that are going to make you a better filmmaker. A gimbal is nothing but a tool. Use it as such. I hope that this podcast helps to unveil some of the truths about gimbals. I hope that people that were going to buy one now understand that it does not eliminate that fourth axis. I hope that people understand they have to learn how to walk with one, that you have to learn how to tune it, you have to learn how to balance it, and that there are other things out there you can do with it than simply follow someone walking around. I also hope that if you do go purchase a gimbal, you will take the time to really learn how to use it. I bought my Movi in spring of 2015. I did not use it on a paid shoot until spring of 2016 because I wanted to really learn how to use it so that when I did use it, you didn't even know it was a gimbal shot. You just were watching another one of my videos and it was just one of the shots I used to tell my story. I wanted it to be seamless in my work environment. I didn't want it to slow me down. I didn't want it to get in the way, and I didn't want it to take away from my videos. I wanted it to just benefit my videos. And the only way I knew how to do that was to spend a lot of time practicing with it at home, trying out different things and using it in non-paid environments until I truly understood what I was doing. Only then did I feel prepared to use my gimbal, and I'm really glad I did it this way. So if you're going to get one, don't get it right before you go on your next big shoot. Get it with enough time to spend time with it, to learn how to use it. And then once you learn how to use it, be creative with it and don't be forceful. Thanks for listening to this podcast. It was a little bit of a shorter one, but it's one that I felt was really important to talk about. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Filming with Josh podcast in general. I hope that if you're not following my podcast yet, that you'll click the follow button and like this episode if you like it. And rate my podcast. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. Give me some feedback so I can know what it is that I can do better to help you learn as a filmmaker, a photographer, or a business person. If you want to know more about my business, you can look me up on rusticriver.media, or you can search my Facebook group, Rustic River Media, and don't forget to join Filming with Josh. I would love to have you there. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I look forward to seeing you next time.
To learn more about Rustic River Media, visit us online at rusticriver.media. Thanks for listening to the Filming with Josh podcast. Catch every episode by hitting subscribe today.